If ever in a world that seems more and more angry and frustrated, if ever we needed to see the King and the Kingdom coming, surely this is it. Amen. I want to read from Colossians chapter 1. I've put the whole of it from verse 3 up there so you can follow quite quickly. The reason I asked the team to do that is I want to keep the text up for the whole time I'm speaking so that you can check out what I'm saying, just in case you leave thinking, did he just make all that stuff up? Then at least you can look up, and even as you read it, you may think, I totally disagree with what he's said and made out of that, and that's totally all right. We're entitled to our own opinions. My opinion is this: the dominion of darkness is broken. The chains of God's people are smashed. The kingdom of light is advancing, and God is making all things new, and we have seen nothing yet. The best is yet to come, but you can disagree with all that if you want to. So let me read from Colossians chapter 1, Paul's letter back to this young church in Colossae, Asia Minor, somewhere in eastern Turkey. He writes from verse 3, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing amongst you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who's a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who has told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you, and we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of God's people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins." Amen. Thanks be to God for his word. We've been looking over the last few weeks on this theme of Kyrios, lordship, and what it means to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. There's probably never been a more important question, and the thing the church has got wrong mostly for generations now is in the area of discipleship. We understand the gospel. We see people come and give their lives to Jesus, be born again, and start on the journey of faith and never get any further than they were after the first few weeks. They don't grow any further. They don't love anymore. They don't understand. They don't live with a different authority. It doesn't feel as though Jesus has actually made any difference in their lives. They just hang out with the world, live like the world, and come to church on a Sunday, and maybe learn to pick up a little bit of Christian language and Christianese along the way so that we can get by when people ask us a spiritual question. But in the depth of our hearts, that question of how are we really significant, radical followers of Jesus? What does it mean for us to take up a cross and follow? What does that look like day in, day out, in the good times and the bad times? What is your discipleship like? The question is quite often for all of us, not what we would want it to be, and we would rather you never asked us, thanks very much. Or discipleship is a personal thing, so we don't want to share about it. That normally means we've got nothing to say when we don't want to share. The issue of discipleship and how we create disciples and how we live as disciples is absolutely crucial to us and crucial to every generation of believers. Do I know and serve Jesus better today than I did 6 months ago? Do I love him more? Am I more sold out for the King and the kingdom, or am I flatlining my way to heaven? So that's the big issue. And this time we find Paul talking about the same thing, but using a different language. This time he uses the language of the King and kingship, which is really, really interesting. The word kurios for Lord that we've looked at all these times is used by the whole church from the resurrection to designate that Jesus is ruler over all things for all time. There is one Lord to whom every knee will bow. He is the Lord Jesus, kurios Jesus. But actually, Lord is not a title Jesus uses of himself in the Gospels at all. In fact, he doesn't really talk about Lord or Lordship in connection with spiritual stuff. It's the early church after the resurrection who do that. What Jesus talks about is, he talks about the kingdom. In fact, Jesus talks about the kingdom 126 times in the Gospels. In his biggest preach, which goes on much longer than I'm going to go on, in his longest preach, the theme of the preach of the Sermon on the Mount is life in the kingdom. When Jesus is teaching about prayer and people ask, how do we pray? Jesus said, well, you start by saying, your kingdom come. When Jesus is looking to talk about a whole series of parables together, he talks about the kingdom parables. When Jesus has a group of people, some who are getting closer to him, some who are drifting away, he says to them, the kingdom is among you. When he's chatting to the disciples after they've come back from seeing demons cast out and healings taking place and all sorts of miracles, he says, the kingdom is at hand. Jesus, one commentator said, is besotted by the idea of the kingdom. All of Jesus' life is dedicated to teaching people that the kingdom is here. So here's two or three things that we need to know about the kingdom before we look at Colossians. In Jesus' teaching, the kingdom is here, but not fully here yet. The kingdom means the authority and rule of the king. So the authority and rule of the king is guaranteed, and it's here, and you see it, and you move into it, but it's not fully like it is. That's why we pray, your kingdom come. Because there are parts of my life where I still need the kingship and authority of Jesus to take hold. There's part of where you work that you still need the kingdom to break through. There's areas and people in your family that you really need to see the kingdom, justice and mercy and healing of Jesus to break into. And so the kingdom is here, but it's not fully here yet. And so we ask for more of your kingdom authority, Lord Jesus. It is all powerful, but it's not national. And today, above all days, maybe I want to say this, there is not such a thing as a Christian nation. The kingdom goes beyond borders, beyond nations. The authority of Jesus takes the whole earth and draws people from every tongue and tribe and nation to it, from the lowest to the highest. And it's not about how you look, and it's not about how you speak, and it's not about what you turn up to. It's about who you submit to and who you live for. And the kingdom, Jesus said, is worth everything. if you were to find the greatest treasure that you had and you could sell it, what would you buy? Jesus says you would buy the kingdom. You would sell everything you have to have the kingdom. Because to have the kingdom is to find the reign and rule of your life fully in the hands of Almighty God, that you would know the King in every area of your life, that you would no longer be dominated by the world or the culture of the world, or as Paul calls the culture of the world, the dominion of darkness. It's interesting in the New Testament, I'm sure you know this, there is only duality in the New Testament, so there's no gray. There's no grayness, unlike us and sometimes unlike the church. There's no grayness. There is darkness and there is light. There's dominion of darkness and evil, and the place that controls you and keeps you away from God, and there is light and the reign of the King who brings you into the fullness of a relationship with God. And the kingdom is here. And the great news that Paul is going to tell this church that's doing really well, this is a good record of a wee church, but he knows that they're going to struggle because they're a wee bunch of people in a big town or city where most of the people don't like them and don't understand them and live following other gods. And so things are going to get tough. And so Paul wants to remind them, as he's praying for them, of this. He wants to remind them that they have been taken out of darkness and living under the limitations of their own selves and their own abilities and their own failures, and they have been removed from that, and they have been brought into what he calls the kingdom of light. The kingdom of light. So you crouch down and hide in the kingdom of domain of darkness. You dance and you celebrate in the kingdom of light because the King has brought you from it. Can you remember when your chains were broken? Can you, when suddenly things made sense? And the overwhelming knowledge of King Jesus has drawn you to his heart, and you knew that you were loved, and you knew that you were forgiven, and you knew that life was never going to be the same again, because that old way of life and all the things that had controlled you and all the things that had weighed you down and all the things you'd struggled with over and over again, suddenly they had been destroyed for you. And you moved into the kingdom of light. If you don't or have never experienced that, you need to experience that. You need to ask Jesus, Jesus, I know that you've died for me. Jesus, I need you in my life. Jesus, I want you to be Lord and Savior and King of my life. Will you come? And maybe you need to do that today. But Paul wants to remind Christians by saying joyfully, thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. What is your inheritance if you're a Christian? Do you know that today? When somebody asks you, what about your faith? Where are you? What is this all about? Are you able to say with absolute confidence, my inheritance is one of a holy people of every generation and tribe and tongue and nation in the kingdom of light. In the kingdom of light. That's where I am. That's where I live. That's the power that I have. Don't you see the significance of what Paul is saying to the people here? No longer living as defeated people, but living in the authority and power of King Jesus, the one and only one who can do what he said he would and could do in your lives. And it's an amazing, amazing thing. He then says, right afterwards, for he has rescued us Probably not the best translation that rescued us. He has transferred us. He has taken us and paid a price and moved us from darkness and brought us, this will be a bit nerdy, but aorist active tense, once for all, absolutely, completely, can never change again. He has rescued us and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Where do you live your spiritual life? Where are you expected to live your normal life now? Not in the dominion of darkness, not controlled by it, but set free to live in the kingdom of the Son he loves. That is the literal point of Paul to the church. Listen, you're living like you're kind of poor. You're living like you're weak. You're living like you're defeated all the time. You're living like you can't cope, that you're not able. But actually, the authority of the King lives within you. So there is nothing that the King cannot face. There's nothing that those connected to the King can't overcome. Now, I'm not saying that we do not have issues and problems and struggles. I'm not saying we don't wrestle with stuff our whole lives. If only the kingdom was fully here, we wouldn't. But still, we go into every day and every situation reminding ourselves of who we are and whose we are. And what we carry. It seems to me that some of us as Christians, our mindset is still as if we're controlled outside of the authority of Jesus. We still look at things and think, oh, I don't think that's really possible. Oh, I can't see that happening. We have a mindset that is controlled by negativity. Whereas in the kingdom, we're saying, actually, I'm a son or a daughter of the living God. That's who I am. And spiritually, I'm not taking any of your nonsense. Thanks very much. I know where my identity is. And I know where my inheritance is. And I know to whom I belong. And I know the gospel can overcome anything or anybody. And I have a confidence, not in myself, but I have a confidence in the King and the kingdom. And I believe the King is saying in this day, Christians, time to rise up. Time to rise up. I love the idea of rising up. Some of you know this, I'm a big, big Atlanta Falcons American football fan. Big fan, started the season last week as we expected, had a 30-yard kick to win the game, missed it. And got beat, I think, by 2 points or something like that. It's going to be that kind of season again for the Falcons. But the Falcons have, over the stadium, rise up. And they have all their Hollywood celebrities do little videos for in between the game, coming to encourage the fans by saying, rise up. Rise up. You should go on and find on YouTube, Rise Up Atlanta Falcons. You'll see one or two fun little videos on that. Rise up. Step into all that God has given you. Believe all things are possible. Recognize where and who you are, because this is your destiny. Defeat is not your destiny. Ultimately, we will see Jesus fully as he is, and we will face defeats now. But we will live as people of the King in the inheritance of the Spirit, and we will face struggles and pains now. But our inheritance is an inheritance of love, of justice, of mercy, of peace, and we will go into every situation and every day believing things can change because we are part of the kingdom. How does the kingdom move? One life at a time. One life at a time, the kingdom advances, and the kingdom is advancing. Let me ask you, just before we look a little bit more really quickly into what he says to them in the earlier verses, do you feel you're living as a disciple of the King in the kingdom? Do you feel you're living with that sort of spiritual authority? Do you pray believing that things are actually going to change? Do you live as if Jesus is risen and ascended and is interceding and praying for you? Do you live as though his actual kingship makes any difference whatsoever in your life? Or is every single day one where you think things can't change? Things can't change. The King of the kingdom means not only can they change, but they have changed forever. Here's one or two things from the kingdom that he says they're doing. He says, I'm praying that you'll be filled with knowledge and wisdom and revelation from the Spirit. From the Spirit. So you've got to be open to the prompting of the Spirit continually. Why? Because the King speaks to his people. The King speaks to his people. What is God saying to you in your heart, in your life at the moment? In the areas that you're wrestling with and working through for other people, are you open to what God is actually saying? Is he just saying to you, hey, I'm with you in this. I'm with you. Or I've got this. I've got this. Remember whose you are. Or is he saying, actually, I know you can't run any further, but it's okay, I'll carry you. Or is he saying, another wall to be kicked down, another street to be won, another heart to be rescued? We have to have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. And his wisdom and revelation filled with knowledge so that people actually come to you to find out, what is God really saying? I don't understand this. What are the times and seasons that we're living in? I love this, bearing good fruits with every work. Very John 15-ish. Bearing good fruits. People of the kingdom bear good fruits. They're good people to have around. It's good for your workplace that you're a Christian, or it should be. It's good for your family that Jesus is King in your life, or it should be. It's good for Perth that there are 250 or whatever kingdom people living here or being here, or at least it should be. We bear good fruit. We should be able to have, we don't have time for this, we should be able to have an open mic, shouldn't we? Just say to people, come up and tell me what Jesus has done that is really good and exciting this week. But we want no negative stories. We just want positive stories. We want to come up and hear the good works that God is actually doing through you. How encouraging would that be? Well, for some of us, it'd be encouraging. For some of us, it may be a struggle. Bearing good fruit, seeing God do good things. Search your mind. Who is really being blessed because you're open to the King and live in the kingdom at the moment? Where's that positive good fruit work happening? People of the kingdom are a blessing to other people. Just naturally, why? Because the authority of the King is within them, and where they walk, the King walks. And suddenly all things are possible. I want to tell just a couple of quick stories from my own life about a kingdom mindset as opposed to a different kind of mindset. So Refuel is a kind of Christian conference that happens way up north. Next year it's in Aviemore, I think. And it's about 1,500 folks come together for 3 or 4 days and worship. I was up the front at Refuel, and I suddenly had this thought that somebody couldn't straighten their leg because something had happened 2 years ago and they'd been disappointed ever since. Right? And I thought, well, that's kind of strange. Because I wasn't talking anything about that. I was just kind of up to say something totally different. And so I said this, and I said, I think by the end of the service, your leg is going to be all right. And I thought, if it isn't, I can probably escape out the side and get back. There's a special speaker's tent, so we'll be all right. And I'll never need to come back. So it's fine. That's why you get itinerant people. They're moving all the time. I heard nothing back for like 3 days, and I felt really miserable most of the time that, I made a mess of it. I didn't hear properly. That happens, you know. And then this guy stopped me. About late 20s, biker, leather jacket on, kind of leathers. I thought, ooh, I've offended somebody that I shouldn't have offended here. And it was a pretty big guy. He said, hey, I need to speak to you. And I thought, oh, here we go. It'll be either a deep theological question or it'll be somebody who's taking great offence. Both have happened before. So he said, that thing you said the other day, he said, 3 years ago, I was in a motorbike accident and my leg got caught between the wheel of my bike and the back wheel of a car. And it was smashed in 33 places to my leg. And I've had plates in it all that time, and I can't straighten my leg, and I've not been able to sleep, and I live on painkillers. And I'd said some more stuff, and he said, 6 months ago, I was supposed to get an operation to put another pin in, and it had to be cancelled through lack of staff and stuff, and I'm still waiting on it. And he said, I want you to see something. And he started running down the field, back and forward. So running. He said, I've not been able to walk properly for 3 years. What had happened? The kingdom had broken through. The kingdom had broken through. The authority and power of Jesus had done something only Jesus did. Wouldn't it be great if he did that all the time? But the kingdom's not fully here yet. But every time we pray, we believe that it's possible that this day and this moment, the king might break through. And the kingdom might come. And so we pray with faith, believing. And we don't tell people they will definitely see a miracle. We tell them that we believe in a God of miracles. So we don't, in this stage, believe that everybody will be healed, but we believe in a God who always draws near and always blesses and always flourishes and sometimes in authority and power breaks through miraculously. I was on a taxi to London. I was running late to go somewhere. I was in a taxi, and it'd been one of these. I'd taken EasyJet, right? My flight was supposed to get into London at 2 o'clock. At 5 o'clock, I was still sitting in Edinburgh Airport. It's my kind of norm going to London. So I was running way late, and I was really annoyed by it because I was speaking at 7:30. And I was coming in, and I'm sitting in the taxi, and you know, I can't even be bothered sometimes speaking to folk. I'm thinking, what am I going to say? I'm going to say God loves everybody. That's the sort of thing. I wish that driver would put the music down. I felt God saying, why don't you just speak to him? If Jesus was in the back of the cab, you'd speak to him. So I started speaking to him. And I said to the guy, so how's life? And he started telling me how life was and how he'd left Afghanistan and trouble. I said, where's your family? And some of them were still back there, and he was having problems with that. Anyway, to cut this story short, we ended up, before I was going in, praying in the cab that he'd meet with Jesus, that his family would be blessed and reconciled. And this guy's in tears, having experienced something of grace in his life. What had happened there? The kingdom had broken through. not by any wise words or any real desire to do anything, but simply the belief that I live in the kingdom with the King, therefore all things are possible. Now, I've thought that was a no-brainer, so every time since then, I've said the same kind of things in a taxi, and only two other times have I ended up praying with people. But I go into every taxi believing it's possible. The transformation can take place. Why? Because the kingdom's here. The kingdom's here. So the life of the disciple is not so much about learning more stuff. It's about laying down more stuff of the world and understanding more the King and the kingdom and their ways. And how do you understand the kingdom ways more? You spend more time with the King. You spend more time with the King. Who are the people who get the kingdom most, I think, that I've met? Two people really, really strike me. I was at an Open Doors Leaders Conference for the persecuted church. And the most humble, insignificant, smaller person than me, considerably smaller person than me, had hardly added anything to the conversation and then was asked to pray. And when this person prayed, suddenly there was a stillness in the room. And people at other tables suddenly stopped speaking. And there was a sense as if heaven had begun to fall. This is Christian leaders who are in this room, and there was people you could hear weeping as this person kept just praying and praying. And when he finished, I was fortunate to have a coffee in the afternoon where I think both of us had got fed up with a seminar and come out early. And so we're speaking to him. Found out he'd been in solitary confinement 5 times. He had planted about 250 churches and seen about 50,000 people individually come to Jesus in his life. And he just had a passion for the King and for the kingdom. And I said to him, what's a normal day look like for you? He said, when I'm not praying, I do other stuff. When I'm not praying, I do other stuff. And I thought, oh yeah, when I'm not doing other stuff, I'm praying. That'd be the difference. That'd be the difference. And I've met somebody who'd never had a position in any church before, who had be in her 80s, had a prayer room that she spent 4 hours a day in praying. And she had lists on her wall, like her family, her children, her church, her street, her school. And she just prayed through the list every day. And when she talked about Jesus, you listened. You listened. People who are close to the King understand the kingdom and they live in authority. Is that you? Will you stand with me? I'm just going to invite the band to come back on. Maybe you want to close your eyes just for a second and maybe reflect upon what Paul is saying to the church, to the individual Christians who are listening to this, that they are no longer in the dominion of darkness. They don't need to live in that way. They don't need to be controlled by what they see and what they read and what they're told about themselves and about others, but rather they have been brought into a kingdom of light, which is about truth and justice and love and mercy and hope and fulfillment and destiny and authority. And because they now live in that kingdom of light, they now carry an authority into the world. It's not a brash, arrogant authority because it's nothing about them. It's a submission and openness to the authority of King Jesus. And it's in that authority he calls us to face every trial and every difficulty and every struggle. And it's through that authority and that power of Jesus that we can go into every place, and believe transformation can happen. The enemy talks to you like he is a winner and you are chained. But you talk to him like you are a victor and you are free. Yeah. People of God, step into the freedom that God has given you and believe what he has said over you and rise up in the name of Jesus. Amen.